Well, greetings to you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark. And last time we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, we went through the first 9 verses. And Paul had a burden. He had a burden for the church. He had a burden for Timothy. And he was writing that burden down, and he was saying how in the last days there's going to be perilous times coming, and he goes through a whole list of things that are trademarks or different things that are going to happen in the last days. People are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're not going to get into those things again, but and then he has this this burden for the church, and that there's false teachers that are coming in and deceiving many. He talked about how their word will be like a cancer. And we know what cancer does. It affects the good cells of a body, and it makes these bad cells. And they just keep growing and growing until finally someone dies because of all these bad cancerous cells. And so he gives different examples, different warnings, different things to Timothy to help him to be aware of what's coming, and don't be deceived by the false teachers. And I think the book of 2 Timothy here is so pertinent to our life and our day and age. We should know this book very well and be very careful not to fall into the traps that the devil has in this world today. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had such a burden for the church and for what was coming. And we talked about last time how, you know, it's been 2,000 years since this was written. And if that was the last days back then, what's it like now? I mean, we are in the last days, and at least we're a lot closer than they were back then, with all the warnings that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had given. So, here we are in chapter 3, verse 10, as we're going through our study of 2 Timothy. We just have today and tomorrow, I think, left. And so it says here in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions." I think there's 9 things there. Doctrine, number 1, manner of life, number 2, purpose, number 3, faith, number 4, long suffering is number 5, charity or love is number 6, patience is number 7, persecutions, number 8, and afflictions, number 9. So 9 things here Paul gives as a test, I guess, or of something that Timothy has known and can see, that this marks the true servant of God. He's going to have right doctrine. He's going to stick to what the Bible says and not be led astray by other things or by just a false understanding of what the Bible says. It's important that we realize that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. Some people, some groups take one verse and they make a doctrine out of it. And it can also be interpreted a different way, but they would make a doctrine out of it. And so Paul says that's the first thing here is doctrine. And then just to look at a person's life. Here Paul was not a selfish man. He was giving his life for others and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about last time, living for others. And then his purpose was to honor God, to please God, to have a God-honoring life, to see that God would be vindicated of the accusations that people bring against him. And then faith. And I would say this is one of the most important things is just his faith. Paul had faith in God, and his faith wasn't just to sit around and do anything. It was his faith had works to it. He was zealous, and his works showed that he had true faith here. And his long suffering, being able to long suffer with others or be patient with others, even his persecutors, and his love. That Paul says that the more I love, the less I be loved. But he still loved, even though he was being loved less by some people. He would love them more. So that's his the one part there, charity, and then patience. He had patience. He also had persecutions and afflictions. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, if you want to write that down or whatever and look that up later, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 28, talks about several of his afflictions that he went through. But he says here specifically, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Well, Lystra is where Timothy was born or grew up, and Antioch and Iconium were close by cities, and so Timothy knew those persecutions. He was probably around on some of them when Paul was ran out of the city and stuff, and so that's the ones that Paul mentions here. And he says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And, you know, God isn't going to just keep us from all trouble, all persecutions, all problems in life, but he is there to deliver us, and he is there to help us, and we can call upon him. And if you're in trouble today, you're in having persecution or some other kind of trial in your life, God is there if you want him to be. He is there if you call out to him, and he will help you through. And then it says in verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's a good thing for us to know, because if we suffer persecution or trials or things in this life, and we just thought, well, I mean, we could think, well, God must be angry at me. God must be, you know, there must be something wrong. But he gives us warning here that we will have persecution. We will have trials and things like that. And so he does that for a reason, so that we won't get discouraged and fall away. And verse 13, as I said last time, Paul had a burden. He had a burden for for Timothy to be careful of all these false teachers. In verse 13 it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In our day, there's a doctrine out there that the world is getting better, and that someday it'll just be wonderful. It's just going to get better and better until, you know, we have so much knowledge and so much insight into medical things and whatever, and the world is getting better, and it's even in religious ways. I don't know how they say that, but there is this church group that believes those things. But here, the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I think the last thing there in being deceived is important for us to see, because it's one thing. I mean, once people are having false doctrine, teaching false things, they actually believe it themselves. They actually get to the place where, even if it's a lie, even if they have started it off with lies, they actually believe things themselves. And I've seen that in my life, even. I mean, in my experience in life, that people can actually believe their own lies. So they're deceived and being deceived. And then he goes on and he encourages, and this is another one of these exhortations that we talked about earlier, but continue, Paul, Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, he could be talking about himself, because he was under, Timothy was under Paul's wing there for quite some time, but also under his mother and his grandmother as he grew up. And that's what he says here in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And this is, the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. But notice here, it's through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ. And as I said earlier today, that faith is shown by our works. What we live by is really what we have faith in. Then it says, all scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or may be complete or mature, through thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this, the inspiration of Scripture, it's a very important thing, and we have to realize that what was inspired, it was, wasn't just thoughts that God gave to men and they wrote it down. They could write it down in their own thoughts, but it was actual words, that the very words that were written were inspired by God to these men who wrote these words down. And the original scriptures are the inspired word of God. What we have today is we have translations from that inspired word of God, and there's some translations that are much better than others. I prefer the King James, but we have to realize that it wasn't, it's not every translation that's inspired by God, but it was the original words, the original writings, and there's many manuscripts that are old, and there's actually no originals that are, nobody really knows if there's originals left, I guess. I'm not sure exactly. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And as we talked about there about the manuscripts, there's thousands of portions of old manuscripts that are out there, and they actually have them numbered and named, and it's a very interesting thing that there are some contradictions in those manuscripts, but the basic gospel and the basic premise of the Bible is all there. There's not a real difference in that. There might be some differences in maybe a line missing, maybe where a scribe was writing it down and forgot a line, and there's different things that are not the same. But God has protected His Word, and it's just so wonderful to see the way that God has blessed mankind in that way. So God bless you today. Thanks for listening, and Lord willing, we'll try to finish up. We probably won't go through the whole fourth chapter, but we'll try to hit some of the high points then next time. God bless you. Thank you.